Would you open your Bibles, please, at Psalm 116? Our question today, as we look at some of the Psalms 113 to 18, which Jesus sang in the, during the Passover, is what should you say to your soul? What should you say to your soul? So, Psalm 116. Sometimes when I'm working in the study and Fiona comes along, she will tell me that she's heard me speaking to myself, and I've got no idea what I've been saying or whether it's of any use. I suspect it's quite like this, that sometimes I speak to myself because I need expert advice, but other times I know that I speak to myself. When I'm out riding the bike and I come to a hill, I quite often shout at myself to keep on going. But my question is, what should you say to yourself in relation to God? What should you tell yourself about God? And quite often I think when I'm asking that question, I'm thinking, what should I say to myself? Well, sometimes I say things like, Jeremy, you're a useless duffer, you're good for nothing, God can't use you, you're a waste of space. I sometimes say, Jeremy, God won't forgive you for that because you should have known better. And I sometimes say things like, God, I've got no idea what you're doing, but I think I've got a better way myself. I tell God what to do, tell God what he can't do, what I should say to myself or what I can say to myself when I look at this psalm is, be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. It's verse 7 of Psalm 116. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. If you're a Christian here today, if you've come to Jesus and had your sins forgiven, if you can look back and see what God has done for you, and if no matter what situation you're in just now, whether it's that situation where you're full of joy or whether it's this depressing, oppressive situation where you can't see clearly a way ahead, can you just stop for a moment and say to your soul, be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Speak to yourself, speak to your soul, tell yourself that God's been good to you. And that's what I want us to do today, to look and to see how God has been good to us, and then, because of that, to say what we're going to do, how we're going to live. So if we look at the psalm, I want to hinge what we do today on these words, be at rest once more, O my soul, and to look back at how God has rescued us, so how we can say that, then look forward and say, what are we going to do? And then going to ask the questions we've been asking about these psalms. How can we make them ours if they're thousands of years old? What can we do? What can we say to ourselves? So how can we say, be at rest once more, O my soul? Well, the psalm starts by saying, I love the Lord. I want to tell you that I love Fiona. And one of the reasons I love Fiona is because when we were young sweethearts going out together in school, and I had a car, so we were skiving in some way, don't tell the children, but we went out in the car. And I took off my jumper, which I still have, it was such a precious moment, and I threw it in the seat. And I sort of threw it down like that. And then I turned round, and Fiona had folded it up nicely. And I thought, age 17, she's a keeper. And I love her because of what she's done for me. And she has folded hundreds, thousands of jumpers, of our jumpers, over the years. Sounds pretty selfish, doesn't it? But there's a danger this psalm sounds selfish like that too. I love the Lord because he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. I love God because of what he did for me. And it does sound selfish, but that's not really what the psalmist is trying to say. There was an old man, a minister I heard preach in Glasgow, Professor James McIntosh, his name was. He died about 20 years ago, I think. And I only heard him speak once, and it was in an after-church fellowship when Christians were together. And his question was, can anyone say they love the Lord enough? Can you say that your love for God is perfect? No, you can't. You heard me say, well, we're trying to do this as a church, but we're rubbish at doing it because sometimes I love other things more than I love God. Sometimes I put myself before God. Sometimes I put other people before God. it's hard for us to love God enough. But what we see in this psalm is that we can love the Lord. We can love the Lord because he's enabled us to love him, because he's rescued us. Fiona's done lots of things for me over the years that has enabled me to keep on loving her, to love her more. And when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told in the New Testament that we love him. Why do we love him, or how do we love him? We love him because he first loved us. I love the Lord because he heard my voice. Well, to hear my voice, he's got to have been ready and willing to hear my voice. He was getting ready for me to cry before I was opening my mouth. He is God who was watching. I love him because he heard my voice, but it tells me so much about him that he has done that for me. So if we really loved God perfectly, we would be perfect, and we know we're not. And we see that we can love him because he's the God who's turned his ear to us. Just want to take you back. If you were here 4 weeks ago now, we would have gone into Psalm 113 and we sang then, or we said then, who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? Who's like God so high, yet who stoops down, who looks, who sees what people are like? But as he does that, the psalmist here gives us this picture of him actually turning his ear to hear the cries that are coming up from the earth and to be ready to listen to them. There's no one like the Lord our God. So we can say to ourselves, be at rest once more, O my soul, because God has heard our cries. Sometimes I think we come to God like this. I know I come to God like this. When Charlie and Emma weren't around to help me make these banners, I went out of the study because I was trying to do it myself, and I was just about pulling my hair out because, although it looks like colouring in, it's a lot more complicated than that. And I couldn't do it. And sometimes I go to God like that. I can't do it. I'm not going to cope with this. And where are you, God? You're not listening. God, do this. God, do that. God, why aren't you doing that? And we go like this and that to God. And we're just, our heads, a big mess of panic and anxiety. But sometimes we just need to say to ourselves, hey, be at rest. Calm down. The Lord has been good to you. He's heard your prayer. He hears, he's inclining his ear. Just stop thinking you have to fix this and trust God that he has fixed this for you and knows what you need. So we can tell ourselves not to be in that horrible situation we were in and to look back to see that God has rescued us. But what I want you to see is that the rescue, as we move on, Psalm 113 to 115 are public psalms. They use the we, they sort of are for us. We are to praise the God together. But Psalm 116 onwards becomes a bit more personal. And they were supposedly sung after the Passover. And what we see here is that the language is, I love the Lord. He heard my voice. He turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. This is a personal recognition that things were bad. This is a personal disaster that the psalmist was encountering. And he called on God. He was in a really horrible place. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. I couldn't keep functioning properly. I didn't know what to do. I felt trapped. The cords of death were around me. He thought he was going to die in a dark and horrible place. He thought there was no one to help. He had been in that situation many times, if it's David or if it's King Hezekiah. It's a horrible place to be. And what did he do as he faced this? Well, he called on God to save him. It's as simple as that. I used to think, and I still do think, that this is useful for us if we're not yet Christians. If we're trying to discover who God is and what he does, we might find ourselves in that position where we realize that we can't save ourselves. What is facing us if we haven't got God's salvation is God's punishment. We are facing God's wrath. The cords of death entangle us. Some versions would use the words hell instead of grave. The anguish of hell came upon me. I was overcome with trouble and sorrow. He was in that dark place. And we can be in that place and know we need God's rescue. What do we need to do? How do we fix ourselves? How do we get saved from this mess that we're in? Do we fix our life? Do we go back and say sorry to everybody we've harmed? Do we give back everything we've stolen? Do we untell every lie? Do we take back every blasphemy? Do we love God like we never did? That's not what God asks us to do so that he would accept us. What do? We just cry, "Oh Lord, save me." We turn to God with the mess that we've made and we just ask him to save us. And he does. So that's a way that we can come to God if we're not yet Christians. But I don't think that that's the only application of this psalm, because some of you are Christians and you feel entrapped. You feel that there's an oppression, that there's something you need delivered from. Your life isn't just this bed of roses that sometimes you think a preacher paints it as. So what do you do? Be at rest once more, O my soul. God hears your prayers. God is able to rescue you. You don't have to fix this. You don't have to fix this. O Lord, save me. And he is a God who saves. And we know that we can turn to him again and again. And he saves us from this. And so we say to ourselves, verse 5 and 6, the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. Just like sometimes you look at yourself and you say, I should have a more compassionate heart. You know, I was unkind. I find it hard to be compassionate to that person because, hey, they're a pain in the neck or something like that. Our God is full of compassion. Full of compassion. If you can imagine a bucket of compassion overflowing, it's God. If you can imagine a world of compassion overflowing, God is full of compassion. He's gracious, he's kind, he gives us kindness we don't deserve. He is righteous, he's fair, he treats us the way that we don't deserve to be treated, but in his own unrighteousness. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. Who are the simple-hearted? When we were in Alt Bay, there's a wee boy there who I could do anything to. I could just put it in my hand, he would come. And he always enjoyed being tickled or whatever like that. And I could get him to, you know, I think if I asked children and for him to come and do something in front of the church, they would be rightly wary because they're wondering, what's he going to do? But this boy, he would come. He had trust in me, which was, he's grown up now. But what are we like when we're simple-hearted? We just go to God. Doesn't mean we're thick. Doesn't mean we're unintelligent. It just means I know I can go there, so I'm going to go there. I'm just going to keep going there. I'm simple-hearted. I can turn to God and put my trust in him, and he's going to rescue me. I don't need to keep running everywhere else. And so I don't have to do all this on my own. When we go to God, sometimes we still come to God and we think, he's going to reward us. We say to ourselves, I need to work harder for God so that he'll give me the equivalent of a heavenly MBE. That I'll get something from God for my good endeavors if I keep going. But what we need to say to ourselves is it's not dependent on how good we are. It's dependent on him. The Lord has been good to you. So be at rest once more, O my soul, because the Lord has been good to you. What should you do then because the Lord has been good to you? Well, what we find is that the psalmist moves on from verse 8. We were in the rest of the psalm. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death. See, the rescue's happened. And what's he going to be like? Well, he says he's going to walk before the Lord in the land of the living. He's going to live because God has rescued him. And then he says, I believe, therefore I said, I'm greatly afflicted. And in my dismay, I said, all men are liars. So it sounds like he's been rescued, and then he says, I'm going to do this, and then all breaks down because he's realized that the people around him he can't trust. Well, maybe he's actually referring back to before he called on God. But maybe he's not. Maybe he's somebody like a persecuted Christian today who is saying, God's rescued me, and yeah, life's great. God's heard me, but I turn and look around myself, and everybody around me is out to get me. Everybody around us can be out to get us, and still we can say, I'm going to walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I'm going to try and live for God. Because I think that's what this man would do, that he would walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I want us to just try and think of, what does that mean? What does it mean to walk before the Lord? It's a really simple picture. Let me illustrate it for you. This is walking. Yeah? And people can see the way you're walking. Walking is about living. Walking is doing what Jesus did. In 1 John, it tells us that anybody who claims to love Jesus, to follow Jesus, must walk as Jesus walked. We've got to try and copy him with the good things that we do, with the places we would go with our feet. We've just got to walk before the Lord in the land of the living so that people would see us. So we would walk, we would live. How else would we live? We would live thankfully. On Thursday, yes, it was Thursday, we got taken to our new American friends. They're not here. No, they are. For Thanksgiving meal. It was my second Thanksgiving meal. I'll say it was my best Thanksgiving meal as well, because it was. The other one was made by a student years ago, so this was better. It was great Thanksgiving. We joined with the Americans who looked back and gave thanks because we heard from the historical expert that one president had decided that Americans should give thanks once a year. Give thanks to God. It's a good tradition to give thanks to God. When you ask, how can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? You live a thankful life. Please don't just do it once a year. It's good to make an effort to do it once a year, but it's good to do it every mealtime. It's good to do it when you lay your head on a pillow at night. It's good to do it when you wake up in the morning. It's good to keep on thanking God. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of, I won't lift up the cup of salvation. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you. I'm going to make an offering. I'm going to make a contribution. I'm going to do something for God. I wonder, the offering some of us are giving by standing order, some of us are taking a little each week and putting it in, we're doing what we're able to do. Why do we do it? Are we doing it with the right heart? Am I giving an offering to God because, well, sometimes we give because people might see if we don't. Sometimes we're reluctant to change what we give. Some of us aren't actually sacrificing anything to God. Maybe you think the biggest thing you give to God is the hour you come to church on a Sunday. Well, you've lost the plot. You're not remembering what God's done for you if that's all you're willing to give to God. Sacrifice a thank offering to God for what he has done for you. If you can't do it out of thankfulness, then you're not understanding. Paul says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And we think, well, I'll give him this and that's enough. The gift is indescribable. The grace it gives is unending. The life he gives is eternal. So give thanks to God for what he has given you in salvation. Do you keep remembering in your prayers to thank God for Jesus Christ? Just thank you for my salvation. Sometimes we even lose sight of that simple thing. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to be my Savior. Just even say that now. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Takes away all my sin, gives me eternal life. Have a thankful heart and live thankfully. How else can we live? We live remembering. We remember. We call on the name of the Lord and we remember. He says, I'll lift up the cup of salvation. Now, this psalm is written, we know, hundreds of years after the first Passover. But still the writer says, I'll pick up the cup of salvation. I'll show that I am thankful that God has done all this to me. And I will obey the Lord. I'll fulfill my vows. I will keep on doing what God wants me to do. I remember that God has rescued me. On the 14th of November, Prince Charles was 70. And I happened to be in the car at 12 o'clock, so I wanted to get my blood pressure up and listen to Jeremy Vine. And he was asking people to call in who had been born in the same day as Prince Charles and to describe their life to compare it with Prince Charles's. So, and he was really, everybody who phoned in was really very nice, because if you're born in the same day as Prince Charles, you got things sent to you and stuff like that, because the Queen was kinder then or something, I don't know. But there was gifts given to people, stuff like that. He was wanting people to phone up and say, my life compared to Prince Charles's just was miserable. And sometimes in church we're a little bit like that. We look around and we sort of say, my life compared to theirs is just miserable. God has rescued me from a lot more than he's rescued you. God, and let me tell you what he rescued me from, and then we tell the story of how terrible we were and stuff like that. Sometimes we wear a disgraceful past as a badge of honor kind of thing in the church. Well, it shows God's grace. But when we lift up the cup of salvation, when we remember what God has done, when we do that sort of thing together, it is a great leveler. How can I be at rest? How can you be at rest? How can she or he be at rest? Only if the Lord has been good to us. And if the Lord has been good to us, he's been good to us all in the same way that he's rescued us from the mess that we were in. And so when we do these sort of remembrance things, we do them together. And then we do this other thing of calling on the name of the Lord. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. God rescued me. Age 14, I think I became a Christian, or I know I became a Christian. God rescued me now. Oh, no, that 28 years ago, I can't even work it out. I'm getting so old. It's a long time ago. A long time ago. So because he answered the phone, I don't need to call him again. Because I called the ambulance, he doesn't need to come again. No, when we've been rescued by God, we call on the name of the Lord. How do we do that? We pray to him. We sing, I love the Lord. We sing to God. We cry out to him again and again. And if we forget to do that, if we haven't done that, it's like we haven't been rescued. Because if you've truly been rescued by God, you're going to say thank you every morning you wake up with breath. Every day you look forward to his eternal glory. You'll call on the name of the Lord. You'll keep doing that. Yeah, I had a picture. And I want to remind you to do it together and to do it alone. You can worship. And it's just interesting. It's a type a Google image for worship. What do you get? Hands up sometimes. And then you get congregations with hats on. You get choir boys. You get all sorts of things. You get all sorts of ways to worship God. You can worship God. And most of the time, we need to remember, do it on your own, do it with other people. And that is the thing that we want to remind you to do, is to do it publicly. It's a big thing. Our faith is not private or secret. This rescue is personal. I was in great need. I was in a mess. He rescued me. And then the psalmist says, I'll fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. I'm going to come together with God's people to do this. One of the biggest challenges we face in church, and I'm preaching to the wrong people because you're here, but one of the biggest challenges we face is that people are starting to say, well, my faith is private, and I'll worship God the way I want to, on my own. And so people stop coming together with God's people in fellowships. They do it on their own. That's not what the New Testament model was. That's not what a thankful model was of remembering what God has done. In Acts chapter 2, the New Testament church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to each other. Are you devoted to each other? Oof, that's a big question. Do we need to be devoted to each other? Wait a minute, I just see them on Sunday morning. Can't really call that devotion, can we, if we're not caring for each other? Every day they continued. Oh, this would be annoying, wouldn't it? Imagine having to see me every day. Every day they continued to meet together in different ways. The church wasn't just something where you came to. It was a body of people that you were. Hebrews chapter 10, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage each other. As we sit together, as we look around us, we encourage each other. One of the most important things you can do to encourage young people is be there. Show them that you love the Lord. Be there for them. Show your children, encourage your children to keep on coming. And sometimes, if I challenge you because you haven't been coming to church, you're going to be a little bit offended. Why are you picking on me? Well, one reason is because it's a real encouragement to see you here when you're here, and we wonder what's happened when you don't. But the big concern is that when people stop turning up to worship, they've forgotten what God's done. They've moved on from relying on God's rescue and needing the encouragement of his people. And so they just think it's up to them. Christian fellowship involves meeting together, thankfulness. Have a good time in private, but have a great time in public too. And let's try and make our public worship as best that we can. One last thing, just looking at the psalm, and then we'll move on. I'm going slow. I'm going to stop talking about how slow I'm going and speed up. Death. I was overcome with trouble and sorrow. I thought I was going to die. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saint. Do you see the movement from fearing death to anticipating death as God's reward? God's reward for himself. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us about God's glorious inheritance in the saints. Not what we get as an inheritance, but what God gets inheriting us. Hey, 12 o'clock, 5 past 12. Anybody feel pretty rubbish? Anybody think they're not worth anything? Well, God has transformed you so that you will be his, and he will treat you as precious as you breathe your last and come into his presence. Isn't that an amazing transformation that's taken place? Give thanks. Live your life looking forward to that. Now, this song. Is it ours? Who wrote it? I never set it in its context. Was it David? Psalm 18 has language that is similar to it, and it's written by David. Isaiah chapter 38 is King Hezekiah was sick unto death, and he turned his face to the wall, and he prayed, and the Lord gave him more years. And the language is similar to this. We don't know who wrote this psalm. We don't know when they wrote it. We make guesses it was David or Hezekiah, and it was a song of God rescuing them and them then saying afterwards, we'll live for God. But what we do know is that it was a Passover psalm. It's come into the songs that were sung when the people celebrated the Passover. So Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, remembered with the people that they were slaves in Egypt. There's a picture of slaves in Egypt. And remember, God rescued them through the blood of the lamb, through the sacrifice, and then stopping Pharaoh from chasing them. And then they had this meal. There's some of the elements of the meal. They ate that together. And then after they had sung a hymn, we read in Mark, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. So just think of Jesus singing this psalm that night. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. Well, maybe for Jesus, he remembers times when God heard him. But in a few moments, he's going to say, Lord, if it's possible, will you let this cup pass from me? And God is going to let him go through this suffering. Jesus sings, the cords of death gripped and entangled me. I was overcome with trouble and sorrow, so much that he would sweat drops of blood. And then I called in the name of the Lord, O Lord, save me. And that night, God wouldn't save Jesus. God would let Jesus go through death and raise him to life later. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. A hard night to be at rest, wouldn't it? You think you'd sleep well the night before you knew you were going to be crucified? Jesus says, I will fulfill my vows to the Lord. Jesus says, I trusted in the Lord. Jesus sings, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Jesus sang that. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And if there's one moment in history when God looks away at death, it's when he abandons his son, who becomes sin for us, so that he can look on us and accept us. Jesus sings, truly I am your servant. And nobody says these words with more truth in them. I am your servant. Jesus sang this song. Jesus sang it before he died. And if you want to ask him why? Why do you do this? Why did you sing this song? Why did you show faithfulness to God? Why did you stick with the plan? Well, what would Jesus say? I don't really know. But I know what I can say. I can say, be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. And ask, well, how has the Lord been good to me? How has he heard my voice and my cry? It's by sending his son Jesus to be my Savior, isn't it? It's because Jesus did this, I can sing this, because Jesus has done all this for me, because Jesus has come down, not just being God who bends his ear and comes down, but God who takes on our sin and comes down into this world to be a sacrifice for us. So I can say to myself, and you can say to yourself, be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. But a question, just as we end, children, mums, dads, grannies, grandpas, everybody, can you say to your soul, be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you? Can you look back and see God's rescue? If you can't, maybe you're still in the place where you need to cry out to God, O Lord, save me. And that's what you should do. And once you've done that, because the Lord is gracious and righteous, full of compassion, you're able to turn and say, be at rest once more, O my soul. This is a good song for us to sing. Let's pray to God now.